All right. Good afternoon. This is Julie Fedorchak with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We are gathered in the 12th floor of the State Capitol for a work session on Brady Wind 2, case number PU-16-42. It is about 3:05. This is our second work session on this matter, and I have reviewed the proposed order, and I don't have any opening comments, but I'm ready for our discussion. So see if Commissioner Crispin has any opening thoughts.
No opening comments.
All righty.
Well, wait, maybe I do. Is this that's laying here on our desk with the small print, is this the same as the one that was handed out?
It is not. There's
yesterday
there's
or Friday.
Two red line changes that I asked Pat to make when I reviewed the draft that I wanted to talk through. So it's got two small changes that I can walk you through.
They're highlighted, though?
Yes.
Okay.
And I can
you want to go there?
They're black lined.
Otherwise, no opening statements or okay. Comments. You can just go ahead.
Well, if I could, Madam Chair, I'll go right
Absolutely.
Into it then. So the as you recall, we had quite a robust work session here a while back. And we scheduled this one with some follow-up questions to go through. Staff has since, and Zach had prepared a draft they put out here a couple days ago. Pat and I went through the draft, I think this morning, this morning. And I had a couple small changes that I asked him to put in there so I could go to those. But and then maybe that would, just start the discussion. So the one that Randy referred to, with the black lining, if you will, the smaller print, I went through it, and one of the things I asked Pat to put in there on page 5, new number 20, I just asked him to highlight that the Hedinger County Commission issued a conditional use permit. We have to add permit onto that. I thought that might be appropriate to put that into the order, because I'd just like when there's already been, if it doesn't mean it has to be there. If one of you'd want it out, I think that would be fine. But I like the fact that the county's already voted on this, putting it in the order. I think that's appropriate. And then the other thing that I asked for clarification on was on page number 7, new number 39, which is the bottom. There was discussion we had a lot in our work session, and Pat and Zach added in some good Eagle language. But one of the things that when I first read it, it talked about implement a 1.3-mile by 1-mile buffer around the Golden Eagle. And the clarification is the east-west for the 1.3 miles and the north-south for the 1 mile. Usually when we see a buffer, I envision a dot in the middle with a 1 mile circle around it. In this case, for whatever reason, the company's agreed to basically a box around it. So 1.3 miles on one side and then one, so it's a rectangle. But that was the only clarification that I went through. And we can certainly go through the order, but quite honestly, I thought it encapsulated almost all of our discussion points. I don't have any other concepts that I want to go through. I'm ready to vote on it. The only thing that I guess I didn't require clarification on, but just in case, well, just to talk, since I brought it up, there was discussion there about the original 14 and 15 about a cultural resources field inventory, and then 15, a archaeological cultural resources inventory. And I asked Pat where that kind of came from, because I hadn't seen that before. And basically, the company did the initial field inventory, then the SHPO asked them for some additional things, so they did archaeological cultural resources inventory. So I'd never seen that
architectural.
Yeah, architectural. I can't even say it now. So I hadn't
seen
that.
Yeah, that was new.
That was new.
It seemed to me to be new on this one, the architectural breakout on the and then was that because there was like the old post office or there was some, was that this one where there was an old post office?
I think that was a different one, Commissioner.
Okay.
But there was
apparently something
that was determined and it specifically discussed and addressed through SHPO.
Architectural.
Was that those wrought iron cemetery markers?
It's escaping me right now as to what it was exactly.
Well,
or was it some of those buildings that were kind of non-traditional stuff? I'm not sure either, I guess. But
well, the highlight.
Way, I'm fine with the way this is written.
Related to the, I bet it's related to Enchanted Highway.
Well, and one of the things that to tie it up.
It had to do with the visual, there's a visual issue, I thought, as well. But I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was just going to say that it kind of threw me as a little bit odd because we hadn't seen it before. And one of the, I wanted to ask Pat about how do we close this up. Well, if you go to the end of the order, number 8, Brady 2, She'll obtain and file copies with the commission the SHPO responses regarding the field survey of the architectural resources prior to the beginning. So they have to button it up, was the point that I hadn't seen it before. When we talked through it, it's one of the conditions that they have to make sure the SHPO is happy with it so we can...
Well, my question on it is, have we just ignored architectural cultural resources in the past, or have they always been part of the cultural resources? They just haven't been broken out, and if so, why are we breaking them out here?
Well, that was kind of the line. I don't know that we've ignored it. The SHPO asked, my understanding is they asked for additional information in this case, so I think it's part of the SHPO process.
Right.
So I wouldn't say we've ignored it. They just never asked for it until this one that I recall.
Well, or was it just part of their regular review, you know?
They have just
like,
been part of the,
it's just part of the cultural resources, architectural part of them, and so are the...
In the past, the companies have reported those stones. Types of things in their cultural resource inventories.
Yeah.
And field surveys.
Well, I'm fine doing it this way, but I'm also fine saying just because the SHPO is calling it something different, do we have to? And can we just keep it the way we always have so we don't start confusing things?
Right.
Jerry has something to say. Come better on. Grab a mic, Jerry.
There was an architectural study in Brady 1, and my understanding was that SHPO wanted it. I don't know what for, but it could have been the Enchanted Highway or something else along there. I think we've seen it before in some other cases, too, where for some reason or other there was something in the area that they just wanted an architectural study.
And so that's different somehow than the regular cultural resource study?
It's kind of like the buildings and stuff around there that might have historical value.
But that would have to be part of cultural resources, too.
Well, cultural is more like an archaeological things that they would find remnants in the ground and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so they, it's something they wanted. We handled it in the Brady 1 case with a requirement that they file the SHPO concurrence on it. It hadn't come yet at the time. And it did come and they did file it.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we've got it the way probably is the clearest.
I just wanted to highlight it because it jumped out at me as something a little bit different, and the fact that we let the SHPO take the lead and those kind of things, we button it up at the end. That was everything else looked to be in order, and I know Randy might have some other questions, but I don't have any.
I have one, two, but I remember hearing them talk about this at the hearing, and I didn't take the time to ask them what's the difference between the architectural and the, because they did mention it. I remember in the hearing separately, and I thought, well, have they always done that? So, anyway, all right. Every one of these is a little different. On the Eagles, number 38. Well, it's probably not now. It's probably on your version. Might be 39. Yeah, it is. To be more consistent with how we've characterized this with others, on the first bullet, and that this says that they will continue to coordinate with Game and Fish and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service regarding any new developments regarding this nesting site. I want them to continue coordinating with them on all the eagle-related matters, not just this nesting site, and I think we need to have that in our order.
So maybe put cross off this and regarding nesting sites.
Nesting sites and all eagle-related impacts. I mean, the idea is they work long-term with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to mitigate eagle-related impacts, whatever they might be.
Okay.
That certainly makes sense to me.
Agreed.
Okay. And then... I don't think I had any other issues, but I did appreciate the fact that staff clarified the setbacks, and I want to highlight again the setbacks because I think they're pretty significant in this project. 2,000 feet from inhabited residences, 26 um, four 2,600 feet from inhabited residences of non-participating landowners, and then almost 1,000 feet from the property line of any non-participating landowner. So those are pretty substantial setbacks. I mean, obviously, for folks who don't want any wind towers, it's not going to be enough, but it's pretty... it's quite a lot more than what we've seen in other wind projects, so I think it's a positive for the landowners in this area.
Well, and it does, in fact, go beyond that county's requirements and follows the neighboring counties, so that's, I think, worth noting.
Good point. Otherwise, I don't have any other issues, Commissioner Kalk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rancher?
I have one, and we started talking about it, and frankly, I've struggled for a solution ever since that doesn't involve tying up a lot of potential construction time, and yet I feel on principle it's an issue that can't remain unresolved. In the application, it says no prairie dog towns have been observed within the study area during eagle surveys. Frankly, in my own opinion, this doesn't revolve around whether there's a prairie dog town there or not. However, when the application says that, and a local landowner who has didn't just pop in for something to do and this is the first time he's thought about this, had clearly done a lot of research, comes in and under oath states that there are prairie dog towns, one in this study area and one in Brady 1, and has a map drawn out locating them, and the company doesn't respond to it. I just feel like, even though I don't place so much importance on the prairie dog town, the company did, since they addressed it, that there are none. And he says there are, and for us to ignore it, I think, would almost send a suggestion that in our cases, if the company says one thing and the locals say another, we just believe the company. And so I asked Zach to work on something whereby the company would notify U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, since they're the ones who deal with this stuff closely, that there was sworn testimony that there is, in fact, a prairie dog town here and the location of it, and that be added to our order that we'll get a copy of that. I think that would cover it then, that we've got conflicting testimony, but we're sure not writing off the local person's testimony and are making sure that U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is made aware of that.
So you're saying they need to be notified, and you want to include that. How do you envision it in the order, like as another fact?
I would envision the order having a point that the company, we should let Zach speak, but I'm hoping that the company would have agreed to notify U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that there was sworn testimony that there's a wind farm at whatever the section and township and range is, and that we'd get a copy of that notification.
Right. So it would be another fact, basically.
It would be a short paragraph added in the order indicating that the company is going to send a letter of correspondence of some type to Fish and Wildlife Service advising them that sworn testimony was received at the hearing, not specifically naming the individual, but indicating that a landowner or sworn testimony was received, indicating that he believes prairie dog town is located in the area that he indicated, and give them that location, that letter be sent to Fish and Wildlife Service, and then also filed with the commission once it is sent. And I discussed this matter with the company. The company is agreeable to doing this.
It's a good point. I think it's because it was, and we often do that in other cases where there's evidence provided, and it sometimes can be conflicting evidence, and you just recognize that we got it, but sticking with the matter that we kind of think that they need to coordinate long term with Fish and Wildlife. I like that.
And you know, sometimes our conflicting testimony is more subjective, you know, is something that's out there rare or are there plenty of these?
Yeah.
This is, I mean, either exists or it doesn't. And so I just think we need to make sure that U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is available and the company is agreeable to it. So I think it's a good resolution.
I do apologize. I don't have the language for the proposed order. This all was a development earlier today, and I've been running today. So I will I'll work with Pat in developing some proposed language for this particular one, and we'll circulate a new draft.
If I'm looking at the order, the newest version, it seems like it would fit right after the first paragraph of EGLE information, but before the EGLE-related mitigation measures. So it would probably be a new number 39. But however you guys work it out.
Well, I'll just... Well, I just asked Commissioner Crispin the direct question, though. If this is the change you'll need to support the order, I support it. But if your does this change does not get you to support the order, then I don't want it in there.
No, with this change, I'm supporting the order.
And I like it. The how is this not a late filed exhibit though?
Nothing has been filed.
Well, but you just said that the company would agree to give it to us in the order we have.
It would just simply be something that would be part of the docket. It wouldn't necessarily be part of the case, but it would. I think what it probably does and what the thought is just, oh, it's just confirmation that the letter was sent.
Okay, just like I mean for the. Make the SHPO fire of law responses the same kind of thing?
Right.
It's not new evidence.
It's just
we're already referencing the evidence that was provided.
Right.
Okay. Good idea, Ranger.
Anything else, Randy?
I do not.
If it's okay with the two of you, we could maybe perhaps vote on this next week. We have a commission meeting on the 6th. But the only changes I've seen is the two that I added that you two had a chance to look at. Julie had some points and adding what Randy wants in there. And put those in the order, and we can move forward.
All right.
If that's all right.
Works for me.
Do you want the next version to be redline version or just the final?
It's always easier to see redline version.
Okay. And the red lines that are in here, I will not show as red lines. The ones
that's
that
fine.
But the new stuff will.
Sounds good.
You're going to do the red line version in black and white again?
On our printer, on our computer.
It's kind of gray, but light gray.
Black line version.
So do we want another work session, or we just take that and then just look at it and then just say it's final?
I think they're pretty simple changes. Okay. I don't really
just
need a work
checking.
Session.
I think it's good.
Okay. I have nothing else, Madam Chair.
All right. Well, that concludes the work session on case number PU-16-42.